My name is Alan Morse. I'm from Perry, Kansas, and I'm going to talk to you folks today about something that's tremendously important to me. It's about the gospel. But today I'm going to talk to you about called the benefits of the gospel, part one. There's too much here for one time. We've got to do it twice, and so we're going to have a part one and part two, and this is going to be part one. And so I want you to open your Bibles up to 1 Corinthians verses 15. I'd like for you to get have a pencil and paper also that you can write these things down so that you'll have them when we're done, that you can go back and review all that we've talked about so that you can grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is tremendously important. What we're going to do now, we're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 15. No, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. I'm sorry about that. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. This is not a gospel, it's the gospel. And this gospel that we're going to hear about is the gospel that Paul has preached to all the churches that he's talked that are in the scriptures. And right now he's talking to Corinthians. And these Corinthians have already been given the gospel. And that they know exactly what he's writing about. Because he says, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you received, and which by which you stand. This is the gospel by which also you are saved. And this is why we believe the gospel, because of our salvation. When you look, if you're looking for salvation and you want something to know for sure, beyond any shadow of a doubt, you believe this gospel and you will be saved. But there's an if in there. It says, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. In other words, this gospel that we're going to believe in isn't something, a head knowledge. This is a heart knowledge. This is exactly what we truly believe, and we're never going to not believe it. And this is what it is. It says, for I delivered it unto you first of all, which also I received. See, Paul received this gospel. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 11, he says, I didn't get this gospel from man, nor was I taught it by man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one that gave him this gospel, and this is what he wants us to believe. That Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day, according to scriptures. That's salvation. You believe that, and that is the gospel, that Christ died for your sins, and that he was buried, and he rose again on the third day. That is the gospel. And you believe that, you will have eternal life. You don't have to worry about hell. You don't have to worry about anything, because you believe what God wants you to believe for your salvation, which is the gospel. Now let's turn, this verse here is the most important verse there is for the believer. There's no, in the whole Bible, as far as for we today. Now let's turn to Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 13. Ephesians, you go to the right, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, and then Ephesians. Ephesians, chapter 1, and we're going to start with Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to start with verse 12. Write this down, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, the second most important verse in the Bible for us. It says that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after you have believed, after you believe what? The gospel. It says, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The second you believe the gospel, God seals you with the Holy Spirit. But you've got to believe it. You see, and God is the one that does the sealing. We don't get the Holy Spirit except directly from God. And He knows your mind. He knows your mind. He knows if you truly believe it or if you don't. But if you truly believe the gospel, you're going to be sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and you will be saved forever. Once you're sealed with that Holy Spirit, you cannot lose your salvation because you have God living in you. God will be walking with you and pointing you to directions where you should go and helping you with your everyday walk. What it says in 14, it says, who is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. What does he mean by that? He said, who is the earnest of our inheritance? Earnest, think about your home. When you buy a home, you put down earnest money or a down payment. This is a down payment for our inheritance for in heaven. Until the redemption of the purchased possession. Who's the purchased possession? We are. Until we are brought to be with the Lord, through our death or through the rapture, and to the praise of His glory. It's just wonderful. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. We are saved beyond any shadow of a doubt when we believe the gospel. Now let's turn to Romans. We'll see what this sealing is all about. Turn to Romans. We're going to go back to the left through Corinthians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, and then we're going to get to Romans. And we're going to go to chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we're going to start with verse 11. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. It says, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and it does if you believe the gospel, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also give life to your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. What He's saying is that the same Spirit that you were sealed with was the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead. And that same Spirit now is in you, and it will raise our mortal bodies at the resurrection. In other words, if we died today, our soul and spirit would go directly to heaven. Our bodies would go to the ground, to the grave. However, at the resurrection, when God comes back to take His people home, that Holy Spirit that's in us will raise our mortal bodies, just like it raised Christ's body from the dead. Think about it. Think how wonderful this is. I mean, we have nothing to be afraid of. We're never going to die. Never going to die. The second we quit breathing, our soul and spirit will be with the Lord. And that soul and spirit is 90% of us. I mean, it's there, and we'll be able to live up there. And even though we don't have our bodies, we're still going to be very viable in heaven. But when we come back, we'll get a new body like His resurrection body. How wonderful that's going to be. A new body. And it'll be resurrected by that same Spirit that Christ that put into us when we believe the gospel. Now let's look on up to, well, let's go back to verse 9 and let me show you something. Same chapter, verse 9. It says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. That's because we believe the gospel. If so, you be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. That's why it's so tremendously important to truly believe the gospel so that you can have that Spirit of Christ. Because if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're not of God's. You see, the majority of the Christians today are walking around who they do not believe the gospel for their salvation. They think they're saved, but they're not. They don't have the Spirit of God. Why do you think that churches have 500 people on their church roll who boast have been believers, but only maybe 100 shows up on Sunday? It's not the fault of those people. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They go to church, they think they should because they're supposed to be saved, But they sit there and they don't understand a word that the preacher's talking about. And they just can't wait till it's over with. They're there because they think they ought to be there. And they're looking at their watch or doing everything else. Their mind is everywhere else. But pretty soon, they stay up too much late one Saturday night and they don't be there on Sunday. And pretty soon, they're not there at all. Because they don't have the Spirit of God helping them in their walk on this earth. But let's find out what happens when we have this Spirit of God. We'll go on up to verses. Let's go to verses 14. It says here that, "For as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God." When we have the Spirit of God, we are declared sons of God. "For you are not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but to receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we can cry, Abba, Father." We are adopted into the Lord God. We can call Him Father. "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God." Think about this. "And joint heirs with Jesus Christ." Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That just blows my mind. You see, not only are we children of God, we're heirs of God, and we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I mean, our future is beyond your imagination. You know, and most people don't even have a clue that who Jesus Christ really is. But I'm going to show you who Jesus Christ really is. Even the average so-called believers today have no idea who Jesus really is. Let's turn in our Bibles to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. You go back to the right. Romans. 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Galatians. Ephesians, Philippians, and then we got Colossians. We got Colossians. And we're going to start in Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to start with verse 12. Verse 12. It says, "Giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us in the kingdom of his dear Son." All this is because we believe the gospel. "In whom we have redemption through his blood." See, he died for us. We believe that. Even the forgiveness of our sins. He's paid for all of our sins. "Who," this is Christ, "is the image of the invisible God." You see, God the Father is totally invisible. No man has ever seen him. But he used the God the Son, which is Jesus Christ, to communicate with the world. And actually do more than that. And you're going to see what more than that is. He's the firstborn of all creation. And for by him, Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, that are invisible and invisible. Whether they be thrones, whether they be dominions, whether they be principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Think about that. Everything on this earth and everything in the heavens were created by the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were created by him and they were created for him. You know, it's just an abomination to this world when they use Jesus Christ as a cuss word. You hear it all the time. If they only had any idea what they were doing and what they were saying. I mean, he's all in all. Jesus is. He's the person who died for us to pay for our sins. He was a person who was buried and that he rose from the dead. That's the gospel. He was a person who created all the heavens and the earth. And he loved us so much that he did go to the cross for us. And if you were the only person out there left on this world Christ would have died for you because of the love he has for us. You see, when he was rejected by the Jews when he came to be the Messiah on this earth, when he was rejected, he could have gone right back up because he was still God. He'd gone right back with the Father. But he didn't do that. He went ahead voluntarily to go to die on that cross to pay for our sins. And if he went clear back with the Father, we would have been dead in our sins. Because somebody has to pay for our sins. Nobody goes to heaven until Christ paid for our sins. Nobody. And we would never go to heaven because we'd die in our sins. But he died for us and he paid the sin debt. He was the Lamb of God. He paid the sin debt for all of us. Verse 17, and it said, he is before all things. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. All things consist. This world is totally controlled by him. And he is the head of the body of the church. We are the church. And as soon as we believe the gospel, we are baptized into the body of Christ. Automatically, we become a member of the body of Christ, which is the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead in all things, that he might be preeminent. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through his blood, he made peace through his blood of his cross, to reconcile all things unto himself by him. I said there, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven. And you, he's talking about you and me, were at once alienated and enemies of your mind by wicked works. He now hath reconciled. He's reconciled us to him. In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Think about that. Think about that. Unblameable. Totally unblameable. Unreprovable in his sight. Holy. Can you comprehend us being holy? But in God's eyes we are. Because you see, Jesus paid for every sin that you did that would make you unholy. Everything has been paid for now. He paid for it on the cross. He died as the final sacrifice for sin for all men. And all they have to do is believe the gospel. That's our works. It doesn't say that we got to believe the gospel and be baptized. No. It didn't say believe the gospel and join a church. It didn't say that, did it? It didn't say believe the gospel and pay a certain sum to the church every month. It didn't say that. It didn't say anything. It's just believe the gospel. You add nothing to it. This is what you believe. You add nothing to it and you take nothing away from it. That's the gospel. And when doing so, we all of a sudden become totally holy, unblameable, and unreproachable in God's sight when we stand before him. There's if there. If you continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached unto every creature that is under the heavens, of which I, Paul, am made a minister. It's all dependent on you totally believing the gospel. Not a head knowledge. I had a head knowledge. And a head knowledge doesn't get it. It takes a heart knowledge to believe the gospel. And in order to totally understand, when I found out what the gospel was, I just couldn't believe it. I spent many years not knowing the gospel for my salvation. I always believed that I believed in Jesus Christ for my salvation. But you see, when you dig in this word, you find out that Jesus didn't want us to put our trust in him for our salvation. He wanted us to put our trust in what he did. Because what he did is the most important, because what he did is what saved us. When he died on the cross, he paid for our sins. And he was buried, and then he rose from again. That's what saved us, not who he is. It's what he did. And so our focus isn't on Jesus. Our focus is on what he did. But when we truly believe the gospel for our salvation, our focus on Christ is 1,000 times more. We love him 1,000 because we know what he did. And we believe him. You see, all believers in the Old Testament were saved because they believed God. And that's what we have to do today. When God tells us to believe the gospel for our salvation, we believe him and we do it. That's why it's I'm talking and teaching the gospel so that people could understand these things. And it's tremendously important that they do understand these things. We're dealing with the benefits of the gospel, part one. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians. We're going to go back to the left, and we're going to go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, and we're going to go to chapter 12. 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. And we're going to look at verse 12. This is dealing with the Holy Spirit and becoming a member of the body of Christ. You see, God took Paul and he separated him totally from Judaism. And he says, I'm going to bring out a whole new body of Christ, a whole new church, not based on anything dealing with Judaism. And we're going to deal with these people, and we're going to set aside the Judaism totally. We're not to be involved in Judaism anymore or anything to deal with Judaism. The body of Christ is based on totally one thing, and that's believing the gospel, and plus nothing, you see. And when we believe this gospel, this is what saves us, and that's why we get the Holy Spirit, and all these things happen to us. It says in verse 10, by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. The second that we believe the gospel, we were baptized into this one body, and it's called the body of Christ. And no matter whether you're a Jew or a Greek, no matter what race you are, it doesn't make any difference now. Jews are saved the same way today. Also, a Jew cannot get to heaven unless they believe the gospel today. And whether we be bond or free, back in then they did have slaves, and we're all made to drink of one Spirit. Now it goes on, we find that the body of Christ is made up of many different kinds of types of people, and all of them have different gifts. Some of them have gifts of teachers, some of them are preachers, some are evangelists, some of them are good or have gifts that they use to be able to help the sick. Some of them have gifts of giving. Some have the gifts of going to the prisons and ministering to the prisoners. Some have gifts of just loving and caring for their families. We all have gifts, and they're all important. They all make up the body of Christ. And he compares those gifts in verse 12. It says, for as one body is one, hath many members, and all members of the body being many are one body, so it is of the same way with Christ. Otherwise, we, as our regular bodies, we got a hand, and we got a foot, we got eyes, we got nose, we got ears. All of them are important, because without them, we're not the complete body. And so every member is different. But there's one thing that we have all in common, is we believe the gospel, and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and we're co-heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is just beyond our imagination. And we'll continue to live with the Lord and with this Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit will make all the difference in the world to you. Now let me show you in 1 Thessalonians. We're going to turn back to the right. We go Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And we go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 14. This is what is called the rapture. This is when Jesus comes back to take his people off of this earth. If the ones that are alive, he'll take us alive off this earth, we'll be changed, and then ones that are dead, they will be raised. These are believers that believe the gospel. And as you can see right here, you can see in verse 14, he's talking to believers and believe the gospel. It's because you're the only way that's going to happen for you. It says, for if, this is chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians, verses 14. It says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so there's the gospel. If we believe that he died and rose again, even so, them who are asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. That means that those people who had died and their souls and spirits, he's going to bring them with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from the heaven with a shout, and the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these things. This is what we're talking about. We will be, he could come at any time. In fact, Paul thought it was going to come in his day. But it just obviously didn't. 2,000 years, we're thinking it's going to come any day now. Well, obviously, it's a lot closer than it was then. 2,000 years closer. We'll have to close now, but just close with prayer. Dear Father, thank you for this time. Thank you. I pray that you'd open the hearts and minds of each and every one of these people, that they would hear the gospel and believe the gospel. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.